Ama a very famous statement of Chazal in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Gimel, in the context of Neres Chanukah. The Gemara raised the question whether women are obligated in the midst of Neres Chanukah. So the original context of the Gemara is discussing whether a woman can light the menorah on behalf of her husband. The Gemara tells us that if a person is away, he was in Nachsanoi, so he has to be mishtatef with the balabas in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. Machlokes in the Rishon, machlokes in the Poskim about whether that means he can only be yotzei derech shittof, or whether he can even mechatchila bring his own menorah. But lemaisa Nachsanoi is definitely chayv in Neres Chanukah. The Gemara says that, but if his wife is lighting for him at home, so that would be okay. Why is that okay? The Gemara says because when his wife is lighting, she's chayevus in Neres Chanukah. If women would have been exempt from Neres Chanukah, then that kind of lighting would not have been acceptable. Why would that not have been acceptable? So the Gemara says because we pasken hadlocha isa mitzvah, that the hadlocha, the lighting of the candles, has to be done by a bar chayuva. That if someone who's not chayev, let's say you have a katan, whether he's a gil chinuch, but under the age of chinuch, for sure, if a katan would light the menorah, that wouldn't be acceptable. A chayev shoshet, that wouldn't be acceptable. But if his wife lights the menorah, that is acceptable because women are chayavos in Neres Chanukah. Why would I have thought women are pturos in Neres Chanukah? I need a Gemara to be mechadish to us with their chayavos. So it's pretty clear from the Gemara that the Havamina would have been, it's a mitzvah zaseh shez ban grama, it's a time-bound mitzvah, and therefore the starting point would have been that women are pturos. So Tosfos in a few places brings a raya from this Gemara, you see that the klal of mitzvah zaseh shez ban grama applies also to mitzvahs derabanan. One could have made a case that maybe this klal of mitzvah zaseh shez ban grama is a klal deraisa. One could have argued that this klal deraisa was only said by mitzvahs deraisa, it wasn't said by mitzvahs derabanan, but kamash on the Gemara, they called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa tikkun, and Chazal instituted mitzvahs derabanan, so they patterned them following the rules of deraisa. And one of the rules of deraisa is that women of turos mitzvahs zaseh shez ban grama. So to women of turos mitzvahs zaseh shez ban grama mid derabanan. So if not for the chiddush of the halacha, the women of chayavos, the starting point would have been women would have been turos. That's how we would have started. But kamash was the chayavos. So why the chayavos? Based on what? Why isn't it a mitzvah zaseh shez ban grama? The Gemara invokes this principle, a phrase called af hein hoy b'yosu ha'neis. Women were also involved in the neis, therefore they're chayavos in Neres Chanukah. So this is a very famous klal that appears in two other places in Shas. Some of Shem have it in other places, but in Shas itself, it only appears in three places. It appears by Kriyas HaMegillah, Megillah Damdal, it appears by Kuf Ches Mitzachah, by Dalal Kosis. These are the three mitzvahs that Chazal singled out, that af hein hoy b'yosu ha'neis. So on this mechayev, af hein hoy b'yosu ha'neis, there is a machlokes in Rishonim, the Rashbam in Maseches Pesachim, and Rashi to a little bit of a lesser extent in Maseches Shabbos, but the Rashbam Pesachim says it explicitly, that when we say Noshim HaChayavos in the Neis oriented mitzvahs, that means because they are the ones who were instrumental in bringing the Neis about. They were the catalyst for the Neis, and therefore it's appropriate that when Chazal instituted a mitzvah, the Rabban to Zechet to those Nisim, so therefore they were Mechayav women. Now, how are the women the catalyst of these Nisim? So out of the three examples in the Gemara, there's only one that's very, very obvious. That's Chris of Megillah. That's not for Esther, so we wouldn't have had for him. So Afen Avios and Nice, women were the ones who created the Nice, therefore they're Chayavos and the Mitzvah Sayyavah for him. When it comes to Dalakos, it's a little bit harder to find. So that's what the Rashbam makes reference to the Maimon Chazal. The Schus Nashim Tzidkariya should also know her in Golan. That was the Schus of the women that we were redeemed from Mitzvah in the first place. The men didn't have that Schus, but the women did. And therefore, they were also the catalyst for the Neis of Mitzvah Mitzrayim. When it comes to Neres Chanukah, it's a little bit harder to find. So in the Gemara itself, you don't really find that he mentioned this idea that the women played a special role in bringing about the Neis. You find it in other sources, other drashim, speak about the famous story about the daughter of the Kohen Gadol and then the Greek general. So there's a little bit of a reference to that in other svarim. So the Rashbam, and Tosfos Pedas Rashbam, it's not 100% clear what each of the Rishonim said of this matter, but the group of Rishonim have this idea that somehow that was a driving force. That idea that they were responsible, they were the catalyst for the Neis of Chanukah, for the Nisim of Chanukah, so somehow that's enough. So, and that's very, very hard to understand. I mean, the Maaseh of the Gemara doesn't mention that whole idea, that whole story about the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. That's such a major focus of the story of Chanukah. It doesn't even appear in the Gemara at all. So that should become the source for the din of Noshba Chayavos, the name of Chanukah. It's, again, some Rishonim will say it, but it's very hard for us to understand that. The Rishonim quotes, the Ran quotes, all different minhagim that we have, and Hanukkah, eating cheese and that kind of stuff, and the zeichet and those events. But in terms of a real bona fide to build a whole din as part of the etzem atakana based on that, it's very, very hard for us to understand. So the evidence is that most of Rishon don't say like the Rashbam. Tosfos rejects the Rashbam outright, as it says that the Loshna Gemara doesn't even sound that way. Af hein ha'yu b'yosu ha'nes doesn't sound like they were the ones who made the names. It should have said hein ha'yu b'yosu ha'nes. What is it? Af hein. Af is like a Loshna, like they also. Is not only were the men in the names, the women were also in the names. So what does Af hein ha'yu b'yosu ha'nes mean? So Tosfos writes, it means that they were the recipients of the names. They weren't the catalysts. They were the ones who brought about the names. They were the ones who benefited from the names. The women were taka saved. In Mitzrayim, the women were saved, and Purim, the women were saved, and Mechanicah, the women were saved. So they were also involved in the Nes. It doesn't mean they were actively involved in the Nes. It means they were the passive recipients of the Nes. That's what the Gemara means when it says, Afein Rabbi also Nes. So the Maisa, Ben Fiyar Shabbat, Ben Fiyar Taisha, that's the din. The bottom line is the din is that women are Chayavas in Eretz Chanukah, and therefore women can be, a woman can vote see a man in Eretz Chanukah. The Gemara says, the Fiyar Shabbat, the Gemara says, so would be acceptable. Just because we say that Afein Rabbi Yosef Nes, it doesn't always mean to the same degree as men. When it comes to Neres Chanukah, it's clear in the Gemara that it's the same. But when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillos, that's not exactly clear. So that's Tosfos in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, quotes the Machlokes Rishonim, whether Afein Rabbi Yosef Nes by Purim means that they were mamish on par with men, and therefore a woman could be motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah. Do I say no, that maybe there's a difference? Afein Rabbi Yosef Nes means that they were also included, it means Chazal also a Mechayev women in Kriyas HaMegillah, but it's a little bit of a different chiyuv. And what that different chiyuv is a little bit unclear. And if such a distinction exists, so then that would open up the possibility of a woman not being able to be motzi a man. Again, that's a loaded topic for more close to Purim time, but again, it spills over here as well. But when it comes to Chanukah, so we don't find any distinction. So Afein Rabbi Yosef Nes means that women are obligated, that's the question explicitly, that the woman could be, could write on behalf of the husband. The husband's out of town. So that's what sometimes people do. If all else is equal, the husband and wife are both standing this, and many Yisrael is that the husband is the one who does the hadlaka. Whether the woman should also do a hadlaka, so there is a question about what mahadrin and mahadrin means. So the Gemara speaks for mahadrin and mahadrin. So according to the Rambam, that just means that there's one extra candle every night for all the Bnei HaBayis. So all the Bnei HaBayis don't like personally, according to the Rambam. I'm sorry, according to Tosfos, I'm sorry, backtrack. According to Tosfos, that all the Bnei HaBayis don't light, just one person lights per whatever night of Chanukah it is, not according to the number of people who are in the family, but according to those who follow the Rambam, like the Ramah who follows the Rambam. So then each of the Bnei HaBayis lights. That's a further question, who will consider to be part of the Bnei HaBayis? So is the married woman light? Is she considered to be part of the Bnei HaBayis for these purposes? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that not. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that the practice is that the married women don't lie. It's an Isha Kagufo. It's hard to understand exactly what that means. Isha Kagufo said in other areas of Allah, usually doesn't apply to mitzvahs. So why exactly should Isha Kagufo minimize the hidden mitzvah of the woman wants to lie also? So it's hard to understand exactly what that means. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Yeah, everyone agrees to that, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes that that practice. That seems to be what most people follow on Hazat. What about the girls who are single girls who live in the house? So Mechora, read a simple reading of the halacha would be that the single girls should be lighting because they're Bnei HaBayis, the community of Bnei HaBayis. Again, according to the Sfarim, it's not relevant according to the Ashkenazim. So then Mechora, based on just the Lashon HaGemar, Lashon HaRishonim, that's the community of Bnei HaBayis. So then Mechora, the single girl should be lighting. So Chassam Sofer writes that the minig was in many communities that the single girls didn't light, because the lighting is to take place in the old days, mamash outside. Now we light inside for whatever reasons we light inside. The Tosfos writes, our minhag is we light inside because it was too dangerous to light whatever it was outside. But when they used to light the beginning of the Gemara outside in the streets, by the Pesach HaChatzer, so then Chassam Sofer writes that it wasn't considered to be appropriate. You could have the men and the women, the young girls, the young boy was going to have a whole shidduch scene on the Lachos Neres Chanukah. So we didn't think that would be appropriate. Again, it's not that yotze, the yotze with the father's halacha anyway. Everyone's yotze. If the father would be the only one to light the sfar, then the father, only the father lights. So for the Ashkenazi custom to follow the minhag of the Rambam that everybody lights, so the minhag became that not for the girls to light. They thought that was a breach of tzniyos. And that minhag is carried over for many communities today. Many people have the practice that the young girls don't light, the unmarried girls don't light Neres Chanukah. So going to some sort of a throwback to the old days when the hadlaka was a little bit more of a farhesia, a little more of a fearsome than it is today. But the bottom line is that those are the eager chiyuv, so then a woman is obviously chayevas, a girl is living by herself, so for sure she's in the chayevas, to light the menorah because of the svar b'afein ha'biyosanes. That svar b'afein ha'biyosanes, so we find this in three places in Chazal. We find it in Erev Chanukah, we find it in Kriyas Megillah, and we find it in Daled Kreisos, but there are a few places that we don't find it, and it seems to be conspicuously missing in those places. We don't find it by matzah. Now, it happens to be women achayavas in matzah for another reason, based on psukim, because of chametz kibet matzah. Whoever's not allowed to eat chametz is obligated to matzah. But in terms of afein ha'biyosanes, that svar does not appear by matzah. It does not appear by sukkah. It doesn't appear by tefillin. There are a lot of mitzvahs that we do that are related to nisim and mitzvahs mitzvahim and others, and we don't find any mention of afein ha'biyosanes. So that's the question: Rishonim, why not? What happened? Where did that cloud disappear to? So most places, Tosfos writes that the answer to that question is that afein ha'biyosanes was made up mid the rabbanon. It's not a svar derech. So min ha'Torah, if it's a zman grum, it's a zman grum. We're finished. But we're dealing with mitzvahs derabbanon here. So Chazal could say whatever they want. So Chazal would have followed the code, called the Tikkun Rabbanon came derisively, and they would have instituted Chanukah, Megillah, and Daled Kreisos that women should be pituros. But they decided not to. What trumped that was the svar mid derabbanon of afein ha'biyosanes. Afein ha'biyosanes is not a svar derais. So afein ha'biyosanes is a svar mid derabbanon, and therefore would only apply to mitzvahs derabbanon. That's what Tosfos writes. That's why it doesn't appear by matzah, it doesn't appear by sukkah, it doesn't appear by tefillin. A lot of mitzvahs that are mitzvahs deraisa, we don't find it. There's no mention of afein ha'biyosanes by mitzvahs deraisa, only by mitzvahs derabbanan. That's what the Maharil discusses about, is machlokes b'rishonim, whether afein ha'biyosanes appears by Suda Shabbos. So in the Gemara itself, it doesn't. So Rabbi Natam invokes it by Suda Shabbos. And Natam writes that women have to eat three meals on Shabbos and they have to make a mishnah on Shabbos. Why? Because eating Gimel Sudas and eating Lechem Mishnah were instituted connected the nace of the man, and the women also got the man. So you see that Rabbi Tam was not learning like his brother Rashbam. According to Rashbam, only mitzvahs that the women initiated, only nisim that the women initiated, do they get the chayav asin. So the mitzvah of the man, the nace of the man, that wasn't started by the women. The special schus of the women that they got the man. Is that true? It says it anywhere. And still Rabbi Tam used the svara of afein ha'biyosanes. He didn't hold like his older brother Rashbam. But afein ha'biyosanes is only said when the women initiated the nes. So the bottom line is that Rabbi Natan said it by Suda Shabbos. So the Maharil suggests that maybe Rabbi Natan only said it by Suda Shabbos because Rabbi Natan held that Suda Shabbos is only midrash rabbanan. The Gemara in the end of the Sefer Shabbos in the 16th parak, the Ashes from the Pasuk, Yom Moshechlu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem Hayom Mosubasad, says the word Hayom three times. That teaches me that you have to eat three meals on Shabbos. So it's not clear whether that's a dimin Torah, that's a dimin Rabbanan. So it could be just an asmach kabiyama. So Rabbi Natan seemed to say that it's only an asmach, it's only a dimin Rabbanan, and therefore it's subject to the sugya of afein ha'biyosanes. Maybe other rishonim hold that that's not true. The Ran in Shabbos quotes a totally different reason why women are chayavos in the Shabbos, because of shom v'zochor. But the Ran understood that shom v'zochor carries over not just the kiddush. The Gemara in Brachas of Chaf applies the kiddush. It says that women have to make kiddush because women are chayavas and malachas. So the Ran understood that's lavdaf for kiddush. That refers to all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, including Suda. So according to the Ran, you don't really need Rabbi Natan's reason. Maybe Rabbi Natan's reason is right, maybe it's not, but you don't really need it. You have another reason why women are chayavas. So that idea that women are chayavas in the Shabbos because of afein ha'biyosanes is assuming, perhaps, that the Shabbos is the Rabbanan. It's also assuming against the Rashbam that afein ha'biyosanes is not necessary for them to be the ones who are the initiators of the nes, as long as they are the recipients of the nes, that is sufficient. So the bottom line is that the Gemara does have this klal by three places, and it doesn't have the klal by many others. So Taisus and Tzachim and Shabbos, and every time the Suda comes up, so Taisus is the same thing, that's probably only true by Dinim Durabot, not by Dinim Durab. So. But Taisus and Masechus Megillah Dabdala quotes a dissenting view. He quotes from Rabbeinu Yosef, one of the Balei HaTosfos. When Yosef Ishu Shalayim, you've quoted him in the past, he was one of the Balei HaTosfos who moved to Eretz Yisrael. In one place, Tosfos calls him Ishu Shalayim, one place they call him Rabbeinu Yosef Eretz Yisrael, and one place they call him Rabbeinu Yosef Shalach Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz HaTzvi is the code phrase for Eretz Yisrael. So it's the same person, Rabbeinu Yosef. So he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Yosef is quoted as the sent, I don't know whether he sent this message from Eretz Yisrael, he sent the text of this Shabbat Torah from Eretz Yisrael, or he told it to them in France before he left, whoever they figured it out. So Rabbeinu Yosef, Ishu Shalayim, is quoted as saying, no, that afein ha'biyosanes is really a svar min ha'Torah. Really rooted in deraisa d'kadin. The only thing is that it doesn't always apply, and you have to figure out whether the psukim negated, etc., back and forth. So Rabbeinu Yosef, it's all Shulchan Aruch to explain that really it should work for deraisas, And the only reason it doesn't work by matzah is because matzah is derived from sukkah, and sukkah is a pasuk that we're going to have to hold chagadja to explain why, no pun intended on chagadja, but it holds the shibbutar to explain why afeinu v'asudeis fall short by matzah, but not because it's derabbanan versus deraisa. That's not the reason, says Rabbi Yosi. Even if it would have been deraisa, it would have worked, but there's some technical glitches, some quirks why it doesn't work over here. So the bottom line is that the machlokes today is in Tosfos. Is Apein Avios Venez a real Svar Deraisa, or is it only a Svar Midrabban? If it would be a Svar Deraisa, where'd it come from? What would the source of the Vishtek in the Torah? The Torah says that Mitzvah Sishas Bankrova, women of Turus, Sugin Kedusha, a whole series of drushes, Sukim, to teach us that women of Turus from Philin and Sittis and Shofar Luv, etc. So, like Mehecha Taysin, it should be something that should trumpet on a level of Deraisa. If you hold it's all Derabbanan, because I made the whole thing up and it only applies to Bidim Derabbanan, not type. If you say that it applies to Nidim Deraisa, Vishtei, where does it come from? So maybe it comes from the following. There's a famous Gemara, Meseches Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph, with Aleph, where the Gemara asked the question, how did Chazal institute the Yontem of Purim? Isn't that considered to be adding on to the Mitzvah Torah? There's something wrong with adding on to, so the Torah wants us to do X, not to do X plus. So there's something wrong with adding on to the Mitzvah. So there's Machlokes, the Ramban, and the Rashba, what exactly the problem is. What was the issue that the Gemara was concerned with? So the Ramban, Allah Torah, and Pashat Eschanan writes, there's a shalom about Tosif. Simply adding on a mitzvah is an issue about Tosif. And the Rashba, the Rosh Hashanah says, that's not called about Tosif. Al Tosif doesn't apply when the Chachamim speak. Al Tosif is when a Yochid speaks. So what was the concern about adding on Purim? So the Rashba would explain that was added on Derech Ruach HaKadosh, Derech Nevuah, because it was still Esther Ruach HaKadosh Nidnah. So that's another din. You're not allowed to have if I come and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a Nevuah to add a mitzvah Torah, that's another Shaker. So the Chazal were concerned, how could the add-on Megillas Esther, the Karach Ruach HaKodesh, that was the problem. If it would have been a bunch of rabbis that would have instituted it, but it was Mordechai Yasser, it was Shushan of Bira, Ruach HaKodesh, so that's where the problem lied. So the Gemara has a question, what right do they have to add on Purim? So there's Machlekes and Rishonim, that same question resurfaced in the days of Hanukkah. So according to the Ramban, it was the same question. According to the Ramban, it doesn't matter whether it's Nevi'im or Chacham who make it, it's the same problem. The only reason why the Gemara never tells us it was a problem in the days of Hanukkah, because the problem had already been solved 300 years earlier in the days of Purim. But according to the Rashba, that was only a problem concerning Nevuah, so but the days of Hanukkah, there wasn't a Nevi'im anymore. The Nevi'im were long gone by that point. So therefore, the Gemara wouldn't even bother to ask the question. So no matter whether the Gemara could have or should have or would have asked the question of Hanukkah, by Purim, Itachat, they asked the question. So what's the answer? So why isn't that considered to be an adding on kind of a mitzvah? The Gemara says that's not called adding on because it already exists in the Chumash. The Torah already speaks about Azir Shemosha. The Torah speaks about celebrating Nisim. The whole Parsha and Parsha B'Shalach dedicated to the sugya of Azir Shemosha. Azir Shemosha isn't just a historical event. It's a dim l'dayrus that when Nisim occur, Yeshua happens, you have to celebrate. So when the Chachamim added on Kriyas HaMegillah, they didn't add on Kriyas HaMegillah. The Institute of Chanukah didn't add on something Yesh B'Yayim. They simply took a pre-existing Dimina Torah and plugged it into a new historical experience, a new historical event. That's not considered to be a whole Safa Masha Kosov Torah. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So that's the case, that the whole model of celebrating Chanukah and Purim is based on the Pesuk of Azir Shemosha. The Torah goes out of its way there to spell out that the women also participated, that Miriam also takes the Satov B'yodah, but they tell us so the same way the Torah says the men celebrated and they sung, and so the women also celebrated, they also sung. So if the Torah is telling us this is the source for the parasha, for the sugyim in a Torah of celebrating Nisim, yes, it's true that the Chachamim instituted the details. How do you celebrate? You celebrate this way, that way, the other way. You like, it's kind of like Megillah, you drink Dalakos, whatever different things that you do. Those are the Pratim in the Rabbanim. But the Ikaron, the concept in a Torah of celebration of Nisim, that's a concept in a Torah. And the Torah speaks clearly to the men and to the women. That's the source for Afeinu, we also are Nes. There is a machlekes the Chassam Sofer in the Nitziv, how to understand that Gemara. The Chassam Sofer understood that Gemara means that every year when we celebrate Chanukah, that's a mitzvah in the Torah. The details of lighting neighbors of Derabbanan and saying, Nisim is Derabbanan and Chris Hall is Derabbanan and eating latkes is not even Derabbanan, eating jelly donuts is Zichanat Derabbanan. That there are details that are Derabbanan, but the Ikaron, the celebration, is a Deraistic celebration. And the Chassam Sofer writes, if a person goes the whole week of Chanukah and doesn't do anything, no Nisim, no neighbors, no Chalda, Gornish from Gornish, doesn't say a word about anything. So says the Chassam Sofer, there's Mevatel, in addition to the Bittul Mitzvahs Derabbanan, there's Mevatel, the grandiose Mitzvah in the Torah called Azir Shemosha. And the Nitziv says, that Mitzvah Deraisa of celebration is only B'Shas HaNeis Mamish. the time of the next time, the first Chanukah, the first Purim, that was a deraisa. But 2,000 plus years later, that's all the Rabbanim. That's already a detail what that Gemara means. But everyone agrees that the basic celebration of Chanukah and Purim are all rooted in the sugyas and the parishas of Az Yashem Moshe. And again, when it comes to Az Yashem Moshe, it's clear that men and women are the same. L'chora, this din of Afein Havi also enes, although the Gemara only has it l'gabe neiris Chanukah, l'chora should be true for the other mitzvah of Chanukah as well. This is din with the Rabbanim have to say halal on Chanukah. The chal is from the Chanukah from the days that Gurma is a halal. That's the Fair Shah Gemara. It's the real chi of Gurma to see halal on Chanukah. The Lachori should say that Afein Havi also an ace. The same way women are chayavos in Neres Chanukah because of the nace. They should be chayavos in the halal because of the nace as well. That's the Lachori what the din should be. I say Lachori because the Poskim don't say that. The Poskim quote that's not true. That women are pturos, Lamaisa, for the midst of halal Chanukah, which is hard to understand. Manishtana, the halal Chanukah than the Neres Chanukah. Some want to suggest that maybe the Hal of Chanukah is not so much Kemeged the Nes, maybe it's more the Kavim Yom Tov Mahal of Odo. The Gemara says in the Sefer Titus, in the Sefer Erechim, that there are two kinds of Halos, there's Hal and Yom Tov, there's Hal and there's Nes. So maybe the Hal of Chanukah is more of a Nes, as one way Yom Tov took a Halel, and therefore it's less of a celebration of the Nes per se. Problem is the Gemara doesn't sound that way. The simple reading of the Gemara doesn't sound that way at all. The simple reading of the Gemara in Titus and Erechin is that the saying of the Halal of Chanukah is dafka, a nace to Kahalel, and as such, it's kind of hard to understand why women should be pturus. The nice answer then that women are pturus from Halal of Chanukah. Again, why exactly that's so some like to give all shtickle terrors as to why, I'm still not exactly sure what the answer to that question is. When we speak about the nace and the celebration of the nace, we spoke about the nace Chanukah, we spoke about the Halal. So the Poshup shot is that when Chazal instituted these two different mitzvahs, on the one hand, you have all the sugyas in Shabbos that speak about the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, Rabbanan, Neres Chanukah, Neres Shabbos, Mahajim, 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 the whole mitzvah of the Rabbanan, Hechet Tzivan, Losos, and all the din of the 2-3 blood, and the Shabbos about the mitzvah of the Rabbanan called Neres Chanukah. Then you have the Gemaras that list off the Yitchez Yom Shagom of Zahalel, the days of Yom Tov and Chanukah. Chanukah is the cover with the Brisa, and Megillas Tanya says the cover of Tom Mahal Vodah. So there were seemed to be two different distinct mitzvahs. There are both. One was a mitzvah of Kriyas Halal. One was a mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. It's so different that they're done at different times. Neres Chanukah is done at night, and Halal on the daytime. The two were very different mitzvahs. So l'chora, they're such different mitzvahs because they're each one is celebrating a different dimension of the nace. The Gemara quotes the Braisa in the beginning of the Sugya Mechanica, the Chafav and Shabbos, that there was the nace of the Mechlamo, and that the nace we spoke a lot about in the Al Hanisim. And then there was the nace of the Pach HaShemen. So it sounds like the reason why Chazal instituted two different mitzvahs was because there were two different nisim. So the nace of the Milchama, that was a nace of Yeshua, that was a Hatzola. So that's very in sync with the nace with the saying of Halal. That's what the Gemara says, that we read the Megillah and Purim, so Kriyas is Zuhilulos, and Kriyas of Megillah is like a Kriyas of Halal. That's celebrating the Yeshua. So the Yeshua on Purim was that our lives were in danger, we were saved. It was a great Yeshua on Chanukah. We went to war, went to battle, and the Rabbi and the Atum, we won the battlefield. So even if there wouldn't have been a Bach HaShemen, that would have been enough for a reason to celebrate. So the Halal is nothing to do with the Bach HaShemen, the Halal is to do with the Yeshua, the Hatzolah. Whereas the Neres Chanukah, so clearly that has to do with the Neis of Bach HaShemen. So Lechor, the two Nisim are not really related. They happen to both coincide in the same Chanukah, but they're really, in theory, one could split between the two Nisim, and therefore the celebrations Lechor are a little bit different from one another. So there's a Taisus of Maseches Titus that doesn't say this. Taisus asks the Kasha, how come every day of Chanukah we recite the Halal? Why is it one Halal suffice for the whole week? What's the premise of the Kasha? The premise of the Kasha is the Gemara says that Sukkot, we recited a new Halal every day, Halal Shalom. On Pesach, we don't say Halal Shalom the entire week. We say Chatzi Halal. It's Machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban. Is the Chatzi Halal of Pesach a din? It's a mitzvah mid the Rabbanan, or it's just a minig b'yamas, like Rosh Chodesh? So Rabbam says, you don't make a bracha on Halal of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And Ramban says, no. Ramban says, even if you don't make a bracha on Halal of Rosh Chodesh, Ashkenazim have to make a bracha on Halal of Rosh Chodesh. We make a bracha like Rabbeinu Tam, even on Menhagim. But the Ramban says, even if you would follow the Rambam, that you don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, you should still make a bracha on Halal on Pesach, because Halal on Pesach, Chatzi Halal is a mitzvah to Rabbanan to say Chatzi Halal. Well, whatever it is, it's not Halal Shalom. So the Gemara asked the Kasha in Erechim, times, why is it that Chazal instituted that you say Halal Shalom on Sukkot each day, and on every day of Sukkot, and every day of Pesach you don't? But the Gemara says, because Sukkot is a chalukah b'kavanah, and each day of Sukkot is a new celebration, because each day you bring separate kavanahs. So the fourth day Chol HaMoed is not the same as the second day Chol HaMoed. Each day is a Yom Lifnei Atzmo. Therefore, each day requires a new challah. Whereas Pesach, same kabbalas. That's why davening Musaf and Pesach was easy. It's the same we craft them every day. It's the same exact kabbalas every day. The place is just a gash of a separate status. If so, so then on Chanukah, Al Chanukah become the same. They're not kabbalas on Chanukah. We say the same alanisim. We should say the same. Say one halal once, and sure, the rest of the week should be a chatzi halal. Then there should be something. There shouldn't be a halal shalom. The place says no. Place writes that because on Chanukah is closer to the Mala Sukkis, because in each day, every day of Chanukah, there was this chachas in the days. Every day is different. How do you know it's chachas in the days? Because the Pach HaShemet, every day they realized it was a bigger nace. Every day that the Pach HaShemet kept on burning, that's a greater nace. That's why we commemorate that by adding on a nair to our menorah every night. So Tosfos writes, the same way that every day adds the nace of the Pach HaShemet, and so to a halal reflects that, and every day we recite a new halal. Instead of halal sholem, we don't suffice with yesterday's halal. So the Chanukah Tosfos is difficult because if the halal is based on the Muhammad, but there was only one Muhammad was over already. So we celebrated, we said halal the first day, and tried to get about it for the rest of the week. So why is Tosfos bringing in the Pach HaShemet? The Pach HaShemet sounds like that explains why we light a new candle every night. How does that explain why we say new halal every day? So the Chanukah you see from Tosfos that our idea that the two celebrations, the two mitzvahs, are so separate and distinct from one another, not so partial. And it could be there is a link between the two. It could be the two are intertwined with one another. How are they intertwined with one another? Perhaps it's a little bit more of a depth rush. One could understand that the nace of the Milchama was not really a complete nace because if all it would have been was a Milchama, okay, very nice. We won a war, okay, wonderful. We won a war. We thank our Kadosh Baruch Hu for saving our lives on the battlefield and showing. But that really wouldn't have been accomplishment. It would have been a little accomplishment. It wouldn't have really solved the problem because the original Gezeiros weren't really against the body of the Jewish people in the first place. The Levush and other old Mepharshim explained that if Klai Yisrael would have just simply followed the rules and followed the Gezeiros and done what the Greeks wanted, so then no one would have killed him. It wasn't Purim. It was a different celebration. It's a different tsar. That's why there's no real formal mitzvah Sudan Chanukah that there is a Purim, because it was never really an attack on the body of the Jewish people. So it was never really an attack on the body of the Jews. So why are we going out to war in the first place? So the answer is because it was attacked on the neshama of Klal Yisrael. And there didn't. We heard about Yavor. I mean, they wanted us to a bit of an azara. They want us to, it's Shas HaShema. They want us to stop to be Shabbos. They're trying to be oiker all the bits of Torah. So we have no choice. We're always braver. So we have to defend ourselves. We have to go out to war. But the Muhammad was not really a physical Muhammad. The real Muhammad was a ruchnistic Muhammad. The real Muhammad was against that whole culture, against that whole mindset, that whole civilization the Greek was trying to superimpose upon Klal Yisrael. So therefore, just to say that we won on the battlefield, that doesn't really mean anything because we didn't have to go to battle in the first place. Who told us to fight back? We would have just given in and become all different as well like the Greeks. So we wouldn't have had to fight any battles. So the whole fighting the battle was to, because it was a fight to the finish between the Torah and the world culture around them. So now the Nitzachon of the Muhammad couldn't be just decided, well, we dropped more bombs and they retreated from the base of Mikdash and now we won the war. That wouldn't have said anything because there wasn't supposed to be a war in the first place. The only way to say that the war was won was there would have been a Nitzachon of Torah. So what symbolizes a victory for Torah? So that's what the Ner HaMenorah was. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was re-mashcha Shchinos of Yisrael. Ner HaChanukah is a zecher to the mitzvah. Halachas HaMenorah is not just stam a mitzvah in the Torah. All mitzvahs are important. But Halachas HaMenorah is an eidus in Yisrael, Shechina of Yisrael. It's in a certain sense representative of the entire relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It's representative of the entire Koach HaTorah, the mitzvah of the Torah Or, and man the Yachim Yadrim. If you want to be zochet the Koach of the Torah, you face the menorah. And the menorah has always been symbolic of the Koach HaTorah, of the Or HaTorah. Not just the name of the shul, but the Or HaTorah in general. So the only fitting way to say the war is won is if there's a Nitzachon, if Torah wins. If a couple of guys running around with spears and swords and fighting elephants win, that doesn't show anything. That just shows you won the battlefield, but that there wasn't even supposed to be a battle in the first place. So you have to have the nace of the Pach HaShemet. The Pach HaShemet is the Gemar HaNace of the Muhammad. If the Pach HaShemet is the Gemar HaNace of the Muhammad, after some time, this makes a lot of sense. So now that nace of the Muhammad was this Chadish every day. that the first day we realize, wow, this Muhammad was really, really a victory for Torah. Then the second day we realize, wait, it's unbelievable, because Baruch is Mashiach Chinoso B'tochenu, the second day. And the third, and the fourth day, six, seven, eight full days, because Baruch shows us his tremendous Abba for us, and his Mashiach Chinoso B'tochenu, he gives us the Koch Torah back. Well, every day is a course of celebration. Every day is a separate holiday. Every day is a new Mitzochen HaMulchama. So perhaps that's the other time you say. So I'll call upon him. The bottom line is that about little time, we have the wonderful, wonderful days of Hanukkah just ahead of us. And the real celebration of Hanukkah, Kayadua, the real celebration of Hanukkah is the Koch HaTorah, the Koch HaMitzvah, the Koch HaKedusha, the Koch of all the things that the Cheshbonoim and the supporters were Moshe Nefesh for at its time. So we, Baruch Hashem, are the recipients of that, and we're the ones who celebrate that, the ability to raise the Or HaTorah in our world today. So what a wonderful, beautiful way to celebrate Hanukkah. So, Baruch Hashem, everybody should be learning this morning. I think it's a regular yeshiva today, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not going to check boxes who's in the yeshiva or not. It looks like too many scenes from the Beis Medrash in front of me, but myself included. But for whatever reason, technicalities, a lot of guys at home, okay, I understand that. Whoever can learn should try to learn this morning, try to learn today, try to learn tonight. And Reish Hashem, tomorrow we will go back to yeshiva, back to the Mechamot Torah, and Berabim, and hopefully try to finish up the last sugya, this part of the last sugya, and maybe we get started on the next sugya. So tomorrow morning, Reish Hashem, we should be bright and early back in today in the Beis Medrash, and we'll get off to a good start for this week. Okay. Thank you, everybody.